Welcome back to our NLC weekly podcast, where we are encouraged from the word of God that's preached in our services every Sunday morning. Here is this week's message.
I want us to read the scriptures together. And I want you to see the kind of God we serve. I want us to read the scriptures, and I want you to understand why this excitement cannot be quenched. Exodus chapter 34, verse 5 to 7. It says this: the Lord came down in a cloud and stood there with him. He's talking about Moses, and he called out his name. And this is God talking of himself. He says, "The Lord." And the Bible says, then he passed in front of Moses, calling out, "The Lord, the Lord, a compassionate and merciful God, patient, always faithful, and ready to forgive." He's not done. He continues to show his love to thousands of generations, forgiving wrongdoing, forgiving disobedience, forgiving sin. He never lets the guilty go unpunished. He is a just God, punishing children and grandchildren for their parents' sins to their third and fourth generation. Your God shows love to a thousand generations. Your God is compassionate. Your God is merciful. Do you understand that, church? My goodness. What kind of week have I had for me to come back and meet the God who is a gracious God? What power is it to come and meet the God who is always faithful? Father, we thank you. Lord, we go into your word, and your word is life. Lord, bring life to your word as your people hear it. In Jesus' name we pray and believe. Amen and amen. Come on, you may clap as we receive the word of God today. My name is Pastor Fighter, and I am so overjoyed. I get the privilege to lead the high schoolers in our church as Club 812, and it's always such an honor to do that. And even to stand here, such a privilege I get from Pastor Don and Miss Amy to give me this opportunity to share. And I cannot wait just to share with you the word of God. But before even I do that, I want to give you guys a report about our pastors. They're not around. So I'm the resident pastor. I almost wore sneakers, I'm just saying. But yeah, I had to honor the pulpit, you know, and the altar. So, but anyway, our pastors are away. They're down under. Not in Australia, South Africa, that down under. And they'll be coming tomorrow. Today they get to preach for Pastor Alfie. And so we are so blessed. We just speak a prayer over them that all is well, that they've had an amazing time, that the pastors who they've been ministering to are living encouraged. They're living, their lives being changed completely. Amen. Awesome. Well, church, I love a good family gathering. Every time, after a few years, our family comes together and we all go to somewhere in Kinangop, you know, that's where my shags is, by the way. And we come together, and my family is big. We're around 700 strong. Well, at least those are the ones who came to my wedding. The others, we are still figuring out. and a few times, maybe twice or thrice in a decade, we meet. And it's the best time together. I don't know if you guys ever do that. You guys have that also? Do you guys ever go shag? Some of you guys don't have. I'm so sorry. They're the best. Best nyamachoma ever, guy. I'm telling you. I mean, it's in plenty. And we're having time together. And then at the end of it, again, these are cousins, right? These are nephews and uncles. These are people you know. But at the end of every gathering, we always have introductions. Do your families do that? Even you guys? You know each other, you've seen them, but hey, here we are, we're introducing ourselves. And they always end by introductions. And I'm stumped, but I always end up enjoying, loving it. Maze, this is where people come up and if, you know, you can bring your humble flex or humble brag there. You come and you say, "Pokeni salamu," Our son-in-law would have loved to be here, but he's touring the county with the governor. I'm saying something without saying, you know. Or you go and you all say, you know, we are here. This is us. This is the Kamau family. We are so sorry. Our sister couldn't be here. She's in Brussels. She's been held up. You know, it's like, wow. No, our family never does that. Our family is a nice one. You know, we are the humble ones. But intros, they're always so important for us, for our family. It keeps us up. It keeps us checked in. And, or maybe your flow is not family gatherings. Maybe your flow is socials. You introduce yourself on your bio, your IG, your TikTok, your Facebook. Facebook is still there. Anyway, or even your ex profile is where you get to tell the world who you are, what you love and are passionate about, and what people should expect if they follow you, right? Or at least that's what a bio should be. Intros seem to be important. Do you agree? And I feel like we may have watered them down as we grow or as we come to, as life moves on. Because nowadays, you know, I got to do my bio. My bio is there, you know, Christ lover, married to my high school sweetheart. We're still married. Then I'd say quad dad, you know, because I'm a dad of four. And I say him as a leader, pastor of the most amazing group of high schoolers out there. You know, something like that. Like, it gives you an idea of who I am, what I love and what I do, right? But nowadays, as time has moved on, I mean, emojis work as well, right? No, they don't. Right there on your bio, you have two swords, a mountain, and fire. I'm like, that's awesome. What am I supposed to deduce by that? You know what? I have a sword. Jesus has a sword. Me and my two-man army going up the mountain, fire upon the mountain as we take down the world, right? I mean, we don't know. But anyway, the whole idea of an intro is supposed to be a brief but yet powerful way to tell people who you are, what you do, what you like, or maybe what you love, and what they should expect as they get to know you. And our key scripture was such a moment between God and Moses. When God comes and he says, I am the Lord, compassionate, full of love, full, always faithful. That's God introducing himself. Because, you know, this is what had happened. The children of Israel had sinned by erecting a golden calf. You remember that story? And so they had sinned by idolatry, and God was so annoyed and God was so angry with them that he wanted to eradicate the whole generation and start it again. And Moses pleaded for them. And Moses said, please, 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 can you forgive them? God said, yes, I'll forgive them. But he says, but you know what? As you go on to the promised land, I won't go with you. And so Moses looks back and he says, God, if you don't go with us, then we'd rather stay here, right? And God was so pleased by this. And the Bible says in Exodus 33, verse 14, he said, and my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. And Moses realized, he said yes to an invitation. So he took his opportunity. Right there and then, he asked, Lord, can you please show me your glory? Lord, can you show me, can you introduce yourself to me? Can I know you more? God said, I got you. The next morning, God comes. And as he walks, he tells Moses, Moses, I will hide you in the cleft of a rock. And as I pass by, I'm going to introduce you to who I am. I'm going to introduce you to who I am. And as he walks, the Bible says he hides Moses and he tells Moses, Moses, you can't see my face, but I'll let you see my back. Because if you see my face, you'll die. But as he walks, he starts saying, I'm the Lord, compassionate. Let me read it for you. The Lord, a compassionate and merciful God, patient, always faithful and ready to forgive. He continues to show his love to thousands of generations. God was introducing himself after Moses had requested to be shown God's glory. God gave a brief, yet powerful summary of who he is, what he is passionate about, and what to expect in a relationship with him. Church, this was God's way of telling Moses to pay attention as he describes his essence, as he describes his nature, his attributes, his characters, and his promises. It was such an important moment. You know, this is such an important moment that Exodus 34, 6, and 7 is the most quoted verse of the Bible by biblical authors. This moment was so important. It's so important that it is the most quoted verse of the Bible by the Bible. That's how big of a moment this was. Because the authors knew this. They understood it with the same weight and memorization as we do John 3:16. John 3:16 says, for? Okay. You get it, right? That's how they knew Exodus 34. It was such a go-to scripture. You know why? Because this was God's self-description. And so, whatever he said it in perpetuity. Whatever he said he would forever be. If I say I am this, I will forever be this. Imagine what a moment that is for Moses. Whatever he said, he couldn't take back. It couldn't be like, oops, just kidding. No, I didn't mean that. I meant this. No. Whatever he said, he couldn't take back. And therefore, the Israelites could always remind him of it because he is the one who said it. That intro still rings loud today. He is still a gracious God. He is still compassionate, slow to anger. He is forgiving. He is patient. He is a merciful God. He is always loving. He is always faithful. He is always faithful. About 3 weeks ago, I sensed the Lord speaking so directly and so affirmatively to bring encouragement to the church that he is a faithful God. Like, 3 weeks ago, I didn't even know I was going to preach. I remember hearing it so clearly. I remember sensing it and just wanting to encourage you that God says he is a faithful God. And this today will come as a reminder of a message that was preached by George earlier this year titled "The God You Can Depend On." Many of you have time, please listen to this message. It will bless you. God truly wants us to be reminded again. God wants you to be reminded again of this attribute that he is always faithful. So let's dive in and talk about faithful to breakthrough. He is faithful to break through. You see, church, Moses was so impacted by this word that whilst singing his song towards the end of his life in Deuteronomy chapter 32, he starts off by proclaiming his praise about God in Deuteronomy 32 verse 4. He says, "The rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are justice." And there he goes, "A God of faithfulness and without iniquity, just and upright is he." This is Moses. After this chapter, Moses is going up to be taken to the mountain to be no more. Moses had truly understood the importance of having a faithful God to count on throughout his life. This was Moses' last moments on earth. And as he reflected, he was comforted by a God of faithfulness who is a rock, who is steady over his life. And so when God tells us he's faithful, you know what he's saying? He's saying that he is worthy of being trusted, that he is reliable, that he is dependable, that he is steady, that he will do what he says he will do, that he will do that which is consistent with his character. And his character is gracious. Yes, he is faithful to be gracious. God is committing to himself and to us that he will always be reliable from the start of our lives to the end. in the good times and in the hard times. He is dependable. He will never stop being dependable. He will never change from being dependable. Even when we are not dependable, he will still be dependable. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 13 says, if you're unfaithful, he remains faithful. For he cannot deny who he is. Faithfulness is not something God brings along. Faithfulness or faithful is who he is. So his faithfulness is dependent on him. Because he is faithful, then his faithfulness is dependent on him and not on us. How comforting. How comforting. That God is faithful because he says he is faithful. We can be assured that he will never fail us. Listen to this amazing man of God talking about God being faithful. D.L. Moody says, God never made a promise that was too good to be true. He's a faithful God. He will keep his promises. Spurgeon says, God writes with a pen that never blots, speaks with a tongue that never slips, acts with a hand that never fails. Andrew Murray says, God is ready to assume full responsibility for the life wholly yielded to him. Faithful. He's assuming full responsibility. Who is God? Faithful. How is he assuming responsibility? Man, that blesses me. And then there's this pastor called Randy Smith who compiles all the places that God talks about his faithfulness. And he says this, I'll start with Psalm 89 verse 8, and then I'll keep reading what he says. He is clothed in faithfulness. He judges in faithfulness. He afflicts his children in faithfulness. He responds to prayer in faithfulness. He permits our temptations in faithfulness. He is faithful to his word. He is faithful to his plans. He is faithful to protect us from Satan. He is faithful to forgive our sins. He is faithful to fulfill his promises. He is faithful in his commandments. He is faithful during our suffering. He is faithful to sanctify us. He is faithful to keep us saved. He is faithful even when we are not. Does that give you the picture of a faithful God? God introduces himself and he's very careful to choose his words. You know, he could have chosen any words, right? God could have said he's omnipresent, omniscient. He could have said that. He could have said, I am immutable, the never changing God. That would have been a, whoa, I don't know what that means, but that sounds good. He could have said that. He could have said he's the transcendent God. Why? Because he is. But he chooses not to. God is very careful on the words he chose. And the word and the phrase he chose to be remembered by is he is faithful. So in my study, I kept asking God, Lord, there are some real issues that you're speaking to. Like, Lord, the people have come and they've come with true issues, real issues. Tough issues. Some issues have taken years. Others have taken decades. And Lord, they're not going away. There are circumstances that have almost felt hopeless. And some feel like, man, maybe we should give up. Maybe I've tried too much. Lord, when you're saying you're faithful, what are you really telling the church? What are you saying to the church? Man, and he answered in a big way. I read every scripture that is aligned to the topic of a faithful God. And as I read, something began to stand out. Something began to make sense. When God, he's saying he is faithful, this is the phrase the scriptures kept bringing up. Genesis 9:15, I will remember my covenant. Exodus 6:5, moreover, I have heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Leviticus 26:45, but I will, for their sake, remember the covenant. Psalms 98 verse 3, he has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness. Psalm 105 verse 8, he remembers his covenant. Psalm 105 verse 42, and he remembered his holy word. and Abraham his servant. Luke 1:54, he has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. Revelation chapter 22 says, these words are faithful and true. Behold, I am coming soon. When God says he is faithful, he is saying he remembers. When God says he is faithful, he's telling you and I he remembers. Let's try something out here, okay? I'm going to do something, and all I want you guys to do is repeat with me, okay? It's a chant. I'm going to say, this is a bag, and you ask a what? I say a bag, and you say a what? And then I say a bag, and then the third time you say, oh, a bag. Can we try? This is a bag, a bag, a bag. You all are brilliant. Are you good? Sawa sawa? Shall we do it? This is a bag, a bag, a bag. This is a ball, a ball, a ball. This is a Panadol, a Panadol, a Panadol. This is a phone, a phone, a phone. This is a plate, a plate, a plate. This is a watch, a watch, a watch. This is a pen, a pen, a pen. There's another one here. Oh, this is a coin, a coin, a coin. And this is a key, a key, a key. Brilliant. Well done. Everyone, please look down. So you're all writing notes. Can you tell me from the number one to the end? Don't look at the stage. Try. Try and give me sequentially where from number one to number nine. There are nine items. Can you go? Let's go. Let's see. Let's see. Let's see. Right, right, right. Let me see. Let me see. Don't look at the stage. You look at the stage, you can, you're cheating. How many cannot even give me the first one? Like, what? I wish I knew the game. I would have planned better. Only nine items are on this stage, right? There was a song. The song was very intentional. Lifting it up was very intentional. You know why? Because you know how we remember? We the science of remembering happens in three stages. The first stage is encoding. That you receive the information. One of the ways you received is by singing. Right? And it goes in one space of the brain. The brain is brilliant. And so as it goes down, it encodes what this is and it puts it in storage. Either short term or long term. Right? Short term is very short. It's 15 seconds to a minute. Okay? And the most things you can remember in that time is 7. How many of you got even to 7? Because we didn't have the time to get into long-term memory. All we stayed at was short-term memory. And the process of remembering needed you to encode, then you store, but there's also something else you have to retrieve. So because the brain is literally saying, I sang about a bag, let me say this, I sang about a ball, okay? The way I saw the ball, okay? The way I felt about the ball being that bright colored. All of that are being stored in a different place in your brain, in your memory. And what happens at the time of retrieval, the brain works together to put all that information together so that I can say, aha! Number two was a ball, right? We remember that, right? And that's how the brain works. But can I say, even in that one exercise, almost all of us forgot. Me included, who was doing this. But that's not with God. You see, let me tell you, because I am at this vantage point, you can't see what I see. So I can see it all and I can still tell you, oh, I know, I got it together. But you on that other side already have forgotten. But God never forgets. But God never forgets. That's how we remember. That's what we picture when the Bible says he remembers. We think we've given God so much, and so he's trying to put things together so that he can remember. That's not the case. This is just an anthropomorphic expression. Okay? That was anthropomorphic expression. Okay? That's what it is. Anthropomorphic expression. No, that's what you're supposed to say. Anthropomorphic. Oh. What basically it is that what happens is, as the Bible scholars were writing, they had to use human expression to try and relate to who God is so that we could better understand. So when they were saying remember, they truly were saying God remembers, but not how you think he remembers. When the biblical authors write God remembers, we are not meant to understand that God first forgot something. Rather, we are to see God as delivering on his promise. God is too faithful to forget. It may take time, but he will do it. It may take time, but he will do what he said he will do, and he will complete what he started. When the Bible says God remembers, it indicates that things have reached a turning point, and now he is acting on our behalf. It's our turn. It's our moment. We are up. We are next. When God is saying he remembers, these issues were never away or out. He was never aloof of them, that he has to bring them together. No. What the Bible says when he says he remembered is that he's now realizing this and this, not realizing, he's now, everything has worked out in its specific place, and now it's your turn. Nairobi Lighthouse Church, God has remembered. Things have worked out to where it's now your turn. Everything he needed to fulfill, he has fulfilled. When God remembers, according to Exodus chapter 6, verse 5, things that have been held back for a long time will start opening up. Exodus chapter 6, verse 5 says they had been in prison, they had been in slavery, for 430 years. Over 400 years. And the Bible says, then God remembered. Everything has worked out. Israel, it's time. Israel, it's time. Businessman, it's time. Single mom, it's time. You student, it's time. God has remembered. When God remembers, according to Genesis chapter 9, verse 5, things that have been stagnant in your life will start moving. You may have felt like you're like Noah in a boat going nowhere in your life. Nothing is moving. When God says he remembered Noah, the Bible says the water started receding. It's time to move. And when God remembers, according to Revelation chapter 22, verse 6, he's starting to come towards you. And your life will be radically, forever changed. When I remember hearing this word, I was so blessed. Because church, this word is not me. This word was encouraged, was put in by the Holy Spirit. And I am just a deliverer of his message. Oh, please be encouraged, church. Remember those miracles last week that he breaks through? The favor, the victory. It's time. It's time. He's going by his introduction. He will stay by his word. He's going to be faithful. And when he says he's faithful, he's saying he remembers. So this is the picture. If you look at it even in scripture, this is the picture that is painted. When you see God at a time where God remembers, things are bad. Then they get worse. Then they get worser. Then they get worstest. And at that point, at worstest, when you don't think anything can be even worse, they get even worse. And at that point in time, the Bible says, God remembers. And when God remembers, they will come back. towards us, then to worse, then to okay, then to good, then to better. Can I tell you, the trajectory is now stopped. It's now time that it starts going up. Receive it as his word. Receive it as his word. Moses had that God is faithful, and he had the right response. Moses, the Bible says, Moses in Exodus 34, 8, he bowed down and he worshiped. He is going to break through for you. Why? Not because you've only done well. Oh no, but because of who he is. He is faithful. He remembers. You can start praising now. You can start worshiping now. You can start being encouraged now. Why? Because your God remembers. Father, we come to your presence. Can we please all lift up our hands? Father, we come to your presence. Father, we honor you. We thank you. And God, there are places, there are people in this room who have heard and continue and need to continue to hear. And God, you remember. You're saying it's their turn now. And God, I pray for the encouragement that God, your word brings. I pray that, Lord, as they go home, that they will truly feel the encouragement from the word of God that he has remembered. I speak, my God, to situations today that they are about to make a turn. There is a turning point in many situations in this room today. In Jesus' name we pray and believe. Amen and amen. Church, you can bless him. You can glorify him. He is a good God. Have a good week. Have a turning point week in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. If you're looking for a church community to be a part of or would like to learn more about following Jesus, we would love to hear from you. You can find us at NLC Official on social media or WhatsApp on 0720-652-652. Join us next week for another message. Until then, God bless you.